Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, June 17th. I'm Ray Graff. Summer is berry picking season. Red and juicy, blue and plump, sweet and sour. Berries are delicious. And we'll talk about picking and preserving them today with Dale Isla Riggs of the Berry Patch in Steventown, New York, and Beth Linsky, owner and founder of Beth's Farm Kitchen in Stuyvesant Falls, New York, and her helpful lackey, Charlie, who's also here. Who doesn't love berries? Oh, the phone lines are sure to be jammed quickly. So give us, that's my producer writing that, jammed quickly. So give us a call at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Studio A is full of delicious berries and delicious confections made with berries. We'll talk about them and we'll take your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, this is the time of the year, isn't it? Strawberries ripen in June, blueberries in July, raspberries in August. And there are so many things you can do with berries, from popping them in your mouth and enjoying them fresh to making delicious pies or preserving them to make jams and jellies. Want to know what to pick and what to make? Well, aren't you lucky? We have experts in the studio who will be berry helpful. Okay, time to fire the scriptwriter. We won't do no more puns. Dale Isla Riggs runs the Berry Patch in Steventown, New York, which is highly regarded for its superb strawberry harvest. Dale Isla is also the president of the New York State Berry Growers Association. Beth Linsky is the owner and founder of Beth's Farm Kitchen in Columbia County. She and her team make over 90 varieties of jam, not to mention numerous chutneys, mustards, and sauces using all locally grown and produced ingredients. So if you have a question for our berry experts, feel free to give us a call now, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post your comments on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that important phone number on this call-in program is 800-348-2551. Dale Isla Riggs and Beth Linsky, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here. It's berry season. I love coming in at this time
of year. Well, I mean, the Daily Gazette, Judy Patrick, proprietor, above the fold. It's a bumper crop of berries. I guess it was a good year, huh?
It is a great year. The plants are looking great for us personally. Today's the first day of pick-your-own season. Some other farms started last week, and there were lots of flowers in May, which means lots of strawberries right now. So we're looking forward to people getting out and enjoying the berries.
You know, it was a strange sort of spring. We had a warm stretch in March, and then April was not too good. So was this perfect weather for berries?
It was anything but perfect weather for berries. We're really fortunate to have such a good crop this year. With strawberries, it helps because we do cover them with straw for moderating the soil temperatures during the winter. So the strawberries came through pretty well, and the thing that was most concerning, at least at our farm, on April 5th, we had 2 degrees in the morning.
Wow.
Low. It was really...
2 degrees Fahrenheit?
Two degrees Fahrenheit.
Surely not Kelvin.
Not Kelvin.
Okay,
luckily.
Good.
2 degrees Fahrenheit on April 5th, 8 degrees on April 6th.
Wow.
The thing that was the worst was that we had single digits for 6 hours on that April 5th.
And that's tough.
That is very tough. For us, we actually had 6 inches of snow on the strawberries. So the strawberries were fine because snow is insulation. But the blueberries, the buds had started to swell. And I was really worried that we had lost our whole blueberry crop. We lost 2 varieties.
Really?
The flower buds just froze. But the good news is it's only 10% of the plants that we have out there, and all the remaining varieties came through just fine. And from what I'm hearing throughout the state and throughout the Northeast is all the berry crops are looking great. Strawberries are looking great. Blueberries are looking great. Raspberries are looking great.
So wait a minute. You're not on the moon. You're in Steventown. And you had 2 degrees in April?
You know, a lot of people in Steventown might as consider it to be the moon, but you know, we're the only Steventown on Earth.
That's what they say. That's what Alan says.
Right.
They stole the sign.
Some people used to say that it was 9 months of winter and 3 months of hard sledding. But we're in a microclimate there that's a little cooler.
Apparently. But the strawberries that you have brought with you look delicious. And before we talk about those, let's reintroduce Beth Linsky, the owner and founder of Beth's Farm Kitchen. Now, you two were on the show last year, but not at the same time, right,
not
Beth?
Not at the same time,
Not at the same time.
So this is a new pairing here.
A new pairing.
You seem to be getting along famously in the green room.
We're okay.
All right, this will be all right. There'll be no fights.
No fighting. Yep.
Charlie,
no fighting.
You won't have to bring anything up.
I hope not.
Okay,
no,
good. Excellent. Excellent. So, boy, you know, you always bring things. I remember you brought stuff last time.
I just love to feed you.
Well, you know what? You're my kind of guest. And what did you bring today?
Well, we brought everything that went with either jam or just with strawberries. So we have strawberry gazpacho.
Oh, man.
And we have a wonderful thing which we call strawberry blush, which you have in your hand.
Is this what I've been drinking?
Moment.
Now, there's no booze in this?
No booze in that.
Okay, there must be a placebo effect, because I'm getting
the booze
getting
comes
hammered.
Later when right. We have our daiquiris.
Right.
Fair enough. Well, this is actually a delicious drink. So what is this?
That's just strawberry syrup, which, you know, we do sell syrups. And it's just strawberry syrups with seltzer. That's all it is.
And only just a little seltzer.
Yeah.
It's not too fizzy.
No, it's not too fizzy.
It's really good.
Yeah,
really
great.
Good.
And then we have jam bars, and we have a salad made with quinoa, and we have a gazpacho.
Oh, my gosh, this is great.
And, of course, we have the grand finale.
The strawberry
the
shortcake.
Strawberry shortcake.
Which,
right.
By the way.
Traditional.
The shortcake looks like real shortcake.
It is. It's homemade.
You see,
biscuits.
That's the key. Sometimes we make
thank
it at
Linda,
home.
Thank Linda, who cooks in our kitchen.
Linda makes the shortcake stuff. See, that's the key, because you can make the shortcakes, and we'll make them for the kids. We'll get strawberry shortcake, but you get those pastries, and they're just cakes.
They're just not cakes.
You've got to have the real McCoy.
You've got to have the real thing.
And right. It's real whipped cream, too.
Well, I won't be eating this. Oh, if we get calls, I will. And
oh,
by
yes,
the way, the
will.
Number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Okay, Dale Isla Riggs, I remember the last time you were on, we had strawberries with interesting names and then kind of robot-like numbers last time. So what did you bring today?
Yeah, this year I brought some of the tried and true. So some of the varieties that have been around for quite a while, Annapolis, Wendy, Lemoore. And then I brought a whole bunch of new ones. We tried some new varieties this year that are just starting to come in. And there's one called Mayflower. There's one called Deluxe. There's one called Rutger Scarlet. And then there's a couple of those robot names of numbers.
License plates.
License plates, yep. But it's really exciting because this NY0116 that has these great big, huge...
Oh, my gosh, they're like apples.
Almost, yep. You know, I can fit, three of them in my hand, I think.
Could you juggle?
I wish.
Okay.
But not with strawberries.
All right, fine.
But this is really exciting because this is going to be named as a variety this fall.
Oh, so maybe we can have people suggest a name.
I think the name's already been chosen.
Oh, come on.
Maybe
this is a great gimmick for the show. Work with me here.
Yeah, with the other variety, the other selection, the 0256,
yep.
We'll have a contest, and I'll send those names to the breeder in Geneva and tell him that these are some of the names that should be considered.
Okay, but I don't want to discourage our... If you have a great name for... NY02-56, you know, please feel free to call us at 800-348-2551. So the big one there, and I forget the number.
0116.
Oh, yes. They're enormous. So they're probably not that sweet, right?
Here, you'll have to try one.
All right, fine.
And decide.
All right,
and
if you're watching online, you can see this is the size of, I would guess, probably a medium-sized mammal's heart.
All right, here we go. Charlie will have to try one.
All right, Charlie, what do you think?
I'm for it.
Yeah. Oh, Beth, you're down with this?
Yeah. It's very good.
Oh, sweet. I got juice on the script. Oh, it is sweet. Oh, good.
They are sweet. They are juicy.
Okay.
That's why it's going to be named as a variety.
So let's call it sweet and juicy. What do you think?
Sounds great.
All right. It's probably not that good. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Beth Linsky is here, and Dale Isla Riggs, and we talk berries, and we'll clean up the script as we take a call here, and let's go to line one, and Carol in Wineskill. Carol, you're first.
I picked strawberries this morning. I want to use those for strawberry rhubarb pies in September.
Okay.
How do you suggest that I freeze the strawberries now?
That's a good question.
This is Beth, and I would just take the tops off them. If they're great big ones like these, I would cut them in half and put them in a Ziploc bag and push the air out of the Ziploc bag. You can put as many as you can fit into a bag.
So like one in this case.
I want you to get a gallon bag.
Okay, get a big bag. All right, fair enough.
Get a gallon bag. And just push them in and smash them a little bit by pushing the air out. And then Ziploc them and put them in the freezer. Lay them flat. And they are perfect. They come out great.
Okay, and then the amount of sugar and the quantity of strawberries would be the same as the recipe that I have if they were fresh?
You'll have more water in them because they're frozen.
Yeah. Right.
And you can drain it if you want to, but it's got a good depth of flavor. Are you making a pie, did you say?
Yes.
So I would drain the juice and cook that down and then add it into the pie.
Cook down
so that you're getting all the flavor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you said cook it down.
Cook just the juice part, you know, because
cook
you're going to get more
juice.
Yep. As it defrosts, it will give you more juice and the fruit will have broken down. There's great flavor. We freeze everything because it breaks down the cells in the fruit. And so you get more flavor if it's frozen.
Okay.
And that's not just for strawberries.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot, Carol. We appreciate you being first on the program today. It's a Food Friday. We talk berries, specifically strawberries today, but oh man, we have plenty of them. What's that number again on these?
NY0116.
They're good. This is a winner. This is a winner. And they're huge. They're huge.
Yep. Now, remember, it's always the first berry that's produced on a plant that's the biggest one. And because this is what's called the king berry, fitting, with them being so big. So you get one great big giant berry.
Yeah.
And then you get two what we call secondary berries or second level berries. And then you get four third level berries. And then you get eight fourth level berries. It's the way the flowers come out on the plant.
I never knew that.
I didn't know that either. Is the taste similarly watered down in further generations?
I actually think the smaller later berries tend to be sweeter.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if you can get much. I mean, this is a perfect strawberry right here.
Yeah, it's a really nice one, but I think the later ones of these will be even nicer.
Well, I'm honored that you only picked the king strawberries for this program. Very nice indeed. All right, let's go back to the phones. 800. Oh, gosh, it's almost break time. Right, Zach? You know, I get intoxicated on the strawberry blush, even though there's no alcohol in it. And, it's only 40 minutes to go. 800-348-2551. Berries, more of them coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Maddox Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996. MaddoxMarketing.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings indoors or out at the Curtis House with three rooms available or at a variety of venues around the area, gloriosaco.com. And the Chef's Shop in Great Barrington, celebrating 25 years, offering tools and services for cooking enthusiasts, including Zwilling knives, La Crusa cookware, cooking classes, and knife sharpening, thechefsshop.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here and Food Friday, and what fun we are having with Dale Isla Riggs of the Berry Patch in Steventown, New York, the only one in the country, I'm told. And Beth Linsky is here, owner and founder of Beth's Farm Kitchen in Columbia County. She brought the jams. Dale Isla brought the delicious berries. And, Charlie's here, too. Yeah. How long has he been working for you?
Probably 31, 36 years.
So you've been taking orders from this woman for 36 years?
No, oh, for longer
only 30.
Than...
Only 30? Oh, good for you. So are you on strike now? You seem to be pretty compliant.
I am compliant.
Yeah, good for
it's
you, Charlie.
It's easier that way.
Well, you just, if you want to chime in at any time, you know... A good argument's always good. So if you guys want to bicker at all, it's great for the ratings. 800-348-2551. And here we go. Back to the phones. Who's been waiting longest? Oh, let's go to Ann in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Ann, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So my question is about the strawberries, obviously. And I have always avoided the big industrial strawberries, non-organic ones from California or wherever, because I was under the understanding they had been treated with a lot of chemicals. And I was just wondering about the range of how you might treat a strawberry, from industrial farming to organic, and what's in between, and what's a happy compromise.
So you mean as far as growing them yourself or when going out to farms?
No, just in terms of what's available in the supermarket or what's at your farm. Not growing yourself, but... Yeah.
Sure. In the supermarkets, you are mainly going to find berries that have been shipped in from California, and they are big and pretty, but they tend to be white inside and not really have any sugar and not a whole lot of flavor. They often have white tips, and that's because they were picked to ship cross-country. Because of the environmental conditions in California, they tend to have some insect issues that they are spraying for, and probably spraying for fungus as well. So some of those would be sprayed more than what you will find in the Northeast. I think the thing that is the most different between West Coast strawberry culture and East Coast is that in the East, we're small family farms that are doing it. The average size strawberry planting on a farm in New York State is 2 acres, whereas in California, you know, you'll have farms that have 500 acres of strawberries. So there's anything from organic, where people are not spraying anything, to organic, where they may be spraying some biologically approved materials on for certain insects. For us, we actually release beneficial insects in the field for one of the most common problems, insect problems. It's called cyclamen mite, and it's this little tiny mite that lives down inside the crown of the plant, and the leaves come up deformed and affect the flowers, so then you wind up with no fruit. And I've kind of been doing my own research on my own farm with releasing some beneficial mites, actually. So it's the good mites eating the bad mites.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because everyone's saying, well, you know, that shouldn't really work, but it's been working great on our farm.
Now, is there a way you share that information with other growers? Now, you're the president of the organization, right?
Yeah, I'm the president of the New York State Berry Growers Organization, and... this information, it hasn't been through an official research trial. It's not replicated or anything like that. I do other research on our farm in conjunction with Cornell. We've actually come up with some answers for no-spray options for an invasive pest that's in the area. So I work with Cornell and Cornell Cooperative Extension really closely. And the Berry Growers Association has gone to the state and gotten funding for that, for some of these invasive pest problems. But... There's a lot of cutting edge stuff going on at our farm, as well as other farms in the state and area. But, you know, I think the thing in this area is go to your local farm, talk to the farmer, ask just what they're doing. And the last thing that people should be doing in upstate New York in June is buying California strawberries.
Right. I don't know how California could top anything that I see right here.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. Let's try another strawberry.
All right, so let's try one with a name that's a new one.
All right. Uh-oh.
As I almost...
Oh, that's dangerous. Yeah. We're going to knock over the quinoa salad.
Yeah. So this one is a variety called Rutgers Scarlet.
I'm sorry, what's this called?
Rutgers, as in the university.
Rutgers Scarlet.
Scarlet.
Okay.
Yep.
And how did that name come about?
Probably the breeder at Rutgers said, this is a really nice colored berry.
Oh, my word.
Scarlet in color. Now, this is the first time, this is the first picking of this one, so I actually haven't even tried this one myself yet.
This is delicious. So there's a little tartness, but really the sweetness comes on. Well, this is good. Jess, do you want one?
Go, Jess.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she showed up, so I figured she did.
And one of the reasons I wanted to try it was because there's an old variety from New Jersey that I remember picking when I was a college student many, many years ago called Raritan, named after Raritan, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the best tasting strawberries I'd ever had. So when the Rutgers breeding program got reincarnated, and this is one of the first ones out of their program, I think, I thought, you know, I bet that Raritan may be one of the parents of this one.
Ah,
so the good flavor, I'm not sure of it. But
can you look at the family tree? Go to Utah, the website, and look up the family tree?
Maybe we'll try the New Jersey Ag Experiment Station.
No, that might work as well. But this is, try it and see what you think. This is your first try.
This is a good one. I like them, for me personally, I like them a little bit sweeter.
Okay, yeah, there's some tartness to this. It's good, though.
Then this one is. I also may have just pushed the envelope a little bit with, you know, maybe it should have been a little bit darker before I picked it.
Mm.
Yeah, but so, nice and juicy.
So when you pick, Beth Linsky, when you make, what did it say in the script, 90 different varieties of?
Yeah, 90 varieties.
That's crazy. How do you do that? What, does Charlie work all night?
No.
No?
No. We have things like raspberry jam and then raspberry cranberry jam and raspberry blueberry jam and raspberry this jam and raspberry, you know, so we cover the whole gamut of raspberries, so that kind of bumps up the numbers.
I got you. So you're just playing a numbers game.
Yeah, basically. Just playing a numbers game.
I understand.
Game.
It's okay.
Yep.
So anyway, when you're picking a berry to make your preserves, what are you looking for? Sweet, tart, what do you want?
We're looking for availability, for one thing.
Yeah.
We this year I think we're buying about 4,000 pounds.
Wow.
So we're looking for somebody who's going to sell it to us in quantity.
Oh, I see. I see.
And it's not always, they're always perfect berries.
Right.
But they're not always the perfect taste.
Understand. But they turn
into great jam. Because they're really grown beautifully. They're not grown on a 500-acre farm. They're grown on a, you know, like a 200-acre farm.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Because I buy from Samascott's Orchard and, you know, that are in this area.
So when you're making preserves,
Yonder Farm,
the type of berry not as important because you have all the other ingredients in there.
No, the type of berry is not as important. I'm not going to search and pay $5 a pound for a TriStar berry.
You could bump up the price,
I just won't
right?
do it. But they're
pass it
beautiful.
On to the consumer, right?
Yeah, bump up the price on the jam.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you have like artisan, what do they call
artisanal.
That?
Artisanal.
Yeah,
artisanal.
That's right.
Artisanal. There we go.
800-348-2551. All right, back to the phones we go, and I believe Sean has been waiting a while. Sean in Kinderhook, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Ray. Sure.
I have a question. My grandmother, she used to make elderberry jam. And I never really cared for it because the skins were always in it, and I thought it was terrible. But elderberries, I think, are good, though. Do they grow on trees, elderberries?
Elderberries grow on a fairly short bush. You can find them in the woods at times, a bush being anywhere from 6 to 10 feet tall or so. And you actually can grow, there are commercial varieties of elderberries. So if you got online and just typed in elderberry plant stock, I bet you'd get some nurseries that would pop up that you'd be able to buy some elderberry plants from.
Okay, now I have another question. I saw a berry, though, one time. It was like a big tree growing from a tree, and it looked like a little miniature grapes. I don't know what that is.
That may be mulberries, because mulberries grow on a very tall tree. I actually saw huge mulberry trees. I did an overseas assignment in Armenia one year, and they have these huge mulberry trees laden with fruit.
Mm.
And in Armenia, they make mulberry vodka is supposed to be very prized.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you. That's all I just wanted to know.
Thanks
Thank
a
you.
Lot. Mulberry vodka. Hey, that's another show right there. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Beth Linsky and Dale Isla Riggs and Beth's a lackey partner in crime. Charlie also here if you have a question for Charlie. Let's go over to Neil in Verbank. Neil, you're on.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have five or six rhubarb plants, and the leaves are about a foot and a half in diameter. They're gigantic. And I've never made rhubarb jam. I've made every other kind of jam. But I was told you really should only do strawberry rhubarb rather than rhubarb alone.
She's shaking her head. I think Beth is going to castigate you in a moment.
You can really?
Oh, I welcome it as long as I learn something from it.
All right, fair enough.
You can make...
The thing is, I'd like to know how long on the stem do you cut to cook, to make the jam? Because the stalk is about a foot long as well. What can you recommend?
You use the whole stalk, and it's a foot long, yes. And maybe all of
the whole stalk, but you don't use the leaves.
You do not use the leaves.
That's poison, right?
Well, they're toxic.
Oh, well, okay.
Nor do I use
one man's toxic is another man's poison, eh?
But it would take about a bushel and a half or two bushels of eating the leaves for you to get sick. So,
but don't
now
try.
What about the
don't
roots?
Try it.
The
don't...
roots also do not.
What?
Do not. The roots of the plant.
Well, you shouldn't pull the roots out because you want them to come back.
Oh, you leave the roots in.
You leave the roots and they'll come back next year and the year after.
Oh, yeah. This plant has been the glory of my little vegetable garden.
Nice. Yes. Continue to let it be.
Okay.
So then what about other fruits?
What about equal parts of sugar and rhubarb?
No. Do
just rhubarb.
Two-thirds rhubarb and one-third sugar.
Great. That all my cookbooks didn't give me that.
I understand that,
that
because they want you to make it really sweet, and you don't need to do that. But make sure
oh, no,
you
I,
add
I
sugar.
I like the tartness.
Yeah, and you
my
can add any other fruits. You can add other fruits to it. It doesn't have to be. We do blue barb. We've done raspy barb. Huh. We can do.
Never
peach.
Heard of that.
Well, now you have.
It's... Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm called.
Yeah. Good for you.
You can do lots of other fruits with it, but it's very good by itself, and it's also good with ginger. Rhubarb ginger
ooh,
jam is
did
very
you bring any of that?
Ooh, that sounds wonderful.
Well, Neil, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551. All right, we've talked about this. I got to try some jam. Let's lay it on me.
Lay it on you. Let's see. Which one is? I can't see him.
Oh, well, you can turn them around. I don't need to see them. I can't even see that far, to be honest with you. So turn them toward you.
And while Beth is dishing that up, I'll just mention we carry Beth's jams at our farm store.
Oh,
and
yeah?
So the rhubarb jam actually is pretty popular. Just plain
it's
rhubarb
amazing.
Jam.
It's
without
amazing.
Any fruit
it's,
at all.
And
yeah.
it's good with pork chops and it's good with ham.
Well, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to have it as a jam. It can even be with a nice soft goat cheese from Ardith May or somebody like that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
All right. This is great. All right. So what we'll do now is, you know the drill. You've been on the show. We'll take a call, and while the caller is talking, I'll try the cracker with the jam. Okay? So
okay, go.
Just buy the premise, buy the gag. Let's go over to Charlie in Hyde Park. Charlie, you're on.
Hey, Ray.
Hey.
I just want to say that you're the you and Alan are the best personalities on radio.
See, you did that right. Okay. You threw Alan in there. Otherwise, I could tossed off
well,
the air.
Well.
At the
you know, let's say Alan is a good wad, and that's a joke from the other day.
You anyway, caught that. Yeah, good for you.
Oh, I loved it. I loved his innocence. Oh. Anyways, strawberries. I used to live in Western Massachusetts in the early 90s, and we had a strawberry plant. We brought it to Hyde Park, and my wife read someplace that if you put pine needles over the top of the strawberry plants in the winter, you know, the acid, you know, whatever it is, all right? Now, I never had better strawberries in my life. They were almost the size of a golf ball. They had 2 points on them, and they were the sweetest things I ever ate. I was forced to pick them in the morning and bring them to work, and farm-raised strawberries, commercially farm-raised strawberries, are a very poor substitute. So what, you know, there was enough there for the squirrels and the, you know, whatever the rodents. It was, and us. It was amazing.
So 2 points.
So anyway.
So the pine needles make mutant strawberries? Is that the deal here?
Well, what I'm saying, maybe so. But whatever this gardening book, you know, it suggested, it was certainly worked out for us.
So that changes the pH, right?
Yeah, pine needles would change the pH, and it may have been that the pH might have been a little high, so putting pine needles on would be good. Probably more that it's just that they were protected during the winter.
So that's what the straw does.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, good for you.
And the last thing I want to say, Ray, is, you know, Rich Guthrie, is that the bird guy?
Yeah.
All right, the pterodactyl joke that you made with the binoculars.
Oh, boy.
I was laughing at that for 3 days.
You see, I have a very expensive group of writers, and they come up with stuff like that. Hey, thanks. Have a great weekend.
That came right off of your head. I know.
Charlie, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go on over to, we have 10 lines now on the new phones. The infernal new phone system, which is perplexing me all week. Let's go over to line 7 and see if it, in fact, is Julie in Wilmington, Vermont. Julie, is that you?
Yes, hi.
You're on.
Hi, wonderful. Thank you for taking my call. I live in Wilmington, and we have kind of like a microclimate here, and it started to just get warm, and I have about half a dozen strawberry plants. I don't know what variety they are, but I put them in as transplants in like late April, and I've been picking off their blossoms since then, and I was wondering when I can stop picking off the blossoms, or now that it's hot, I should let them go.
Yeah, Julie, it would be good if you can find out what variety it is, because you would treat a June-bearing variety differently than you'll treat an ever-bearing variety of strawberry.
I know they are ever-bearing.
They are ever-bearing. Okay.
Yeah.
So on the ever-bearers that we grow, we just cut off the first flush of blossoms and let the energy kind of go into creating a bigger plant by doing that. And once you start to get one or two good-sized leaves coming out of the center of the crown, that's when you can stop taking off the blossoms and just let them create the blossoms and start to create the fruit that you can then enjoy for the rest of the season.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. And by the way, Beth, the jam is amazing. You're a genius. Charlie, do you lend her out? Can I have her over the house for the weekend?
No.
No? All right. Well, fair enough.
Not with the kind of jokes you tell.
Wow. Ouch. 800-34. What do you have there?
This is strawberry.
Oh, the strawberry jam. All right, let's try it. You going to have some?
I'm still working on the strawberry rhubarb.
Mmm. Yeah. Delicious. Mmm. Oh, boy. All right, we have to take a break. 800-348-2551. It's cracker time. We'll take a break. We won't chew on the air. You'll hear some underwriting, and then we'll come back and we'll hit the home stretch. 800-323-92. No, that's the Vox Pop. Oh my God, I did the fun. It's a week and a half after the fun drive. I did a fun drive. 800-348-2551. Get me out of here.
Support for WAMC comes from Viva Fresh Pasta. 30 years and 30 wines by the glass. European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. Big Y, family-owned and operated market with 4 locations in the Berkshires, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, now in their summer season, featuring local producer-only foods and handmade products every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on River Street in downtown Troy, New York. TroyMarket.org. And Larac, Glens Falls, New York, presenting their 45th annual Juried Arts Festival downtown in City Park, featuring handmade goods, live music, and food, June 18th and 19th, rain or shine. Larac.org.
Vox Pop, it is Food Friday, and you know, the guests love their work when in the breaks, all they talk about is berries and jams. You two, Dale Isla Riggs and Beth Linsky, you live for this. This is amazing. It's great having you both here on the show. We've tasted some good stuff already. How about another strawberry before we take the next call?
Sure. Another one that is a new one for me this year is, and I like the name, is Deluxe.
Deluxe.
So quite large.
Yeah.
Again, first ones harvested for the season.
Okay, these are the King Deluxe?
They are the King Berries off Deluxe. And I really like the shine of them. They're a really shiny berry. Some of them a little bit lighter in color. But
now, granted, I just had preserves or jam, but these don't seem that sweet to me. Maybe my palate has not been properly cleansed.
I think you might want to cleanse your palate.
Yeah. All right. You got any bourbon?
Try that blush.
It's gone. I drank it already.
Whoa.
800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Let's go back to the phones here, and the new phone system is telling me that I should talk to Linda in Corinth. Linda, you're on.
Hello. You guys sound like you're having such a good time. I have a good suggestion.
What's that?
I think each time we do a Food Friday, you should invite somebody from the audience, from the listening audience, to come in and share.
You're a genius. You're a genius. You know what? We'll put this to our Fun Drive crew. Maybe we can make a premium out of it.
And because it's my idea, I need to be first.
All right. Well, you can go talk to my producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall, and maybe she'll get you in there. That's a good idea.
Okay. Thank you.
That's it?
No, I have a name for the new berry.
Okay.
Spring's Promise.
Springs Promise.
All right.
I think Springs Promise is running in the third up in Saratoga tonight.
Really? Is there such a name?
No,
on?
I'm kidding.
Right. You're just picking on me. Okay.
Linda, thanks for the call. Great idea, by the way. Thank you.
Welcome.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551. Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Charlie's in a lousy mood today.
Oh.
I'll tell you
he
what.
He had to drive a lot today.
You know? Yeah, really? And you're a slave driver, aren't you? You really work them. Charlie, get those berries in here. All right, back to the phones we go. And, oh, my gosh. Layla, you've been waiting a while in Mount Tremper. You're on.
Hi, Ray. Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a tip and a question. The tip is how to freeze things to vacuum pack them. What I do is I put whatever it is, whether I'm blanching some greens or some berries or whatever it is, put them in a Ziploc kind of bag, and I close it all the way until I can just slip a straw in the last little opening. And then I take a big fat, I let all the air out of my lungs, and then I suck all of the remaining air out of the bag and quickly shut it.
Oh,
and all the plastic collapses around the what's inside, and it really keeps from frost building inside. It really looks shrink wrapped. It's very cool.
How many bags does it take you to pass out?
Well, if there's a lot of air in the thing, I don't pass out at all. I just go around smelling strawberries all day or whatever it is.
It's a great idea.
And then the second, yeah, I know it works very well. And the second thing is we have a lot of, I guess what you call it, naturalized Russian olive bushes. I think they were they're a landscape bush that kind of escaped, and they don't have any predators here because they're probably from Asia. And they have these little tiny round dark red berries with cool sort of white stripes on them, and they're delicious. And the bears love them, the deer love them, everybody loves them. And I didn't know if that's something you have any experience with. I've had fun with them myself, but I wasn't sure if that's something you all ever deal with.
Russian olives, eh?
I've never dealt with them. I've never even seen them.
Have you ever heard of them?
I've seen the bushes, but yeah. I don't know the berries at all.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They used to be in an area that I used to go cross-country skiing in when I lived in Utah, but I've never used the fruit.
Aha. Well, there you go.
Layla. Exactly. It's like I discovered them. I discovered they start making the berries in November, and I've been, you know, cross-country skiing in January, and there they are, and they're just delicious. They're refreshing along the way. It's exactly where I find them, too.
Freeze-dried.
All right, well,
so,
thanks.
So
well,
the
thanks,
sugar
Layla.
Is higher.
Appreciate the
yeah,
call.
Yeah, freeze-dried, yeah.
All right, let's try another berry. Let's try one of these. What's this one?
This one is called Wendy.
Ah!
Yep.
I haven't tasted Wendy since high school. Let's see.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
These are fairly mild.
Yeah, they're an early variety. They're actually a variety that we're going to be taking out fairly soon because they're not as popular with the customers
anymore.
They're
not that sweet.
They're not as sweet. They're a little bit smaller than what people like. Horticulturally, I don't like growing them as much because they get leaf spot pretty badly, and we tend to not spray our berries, so I don't want to have varieties that I would need to be spraying.
I like the texture. They're meaty. They're very tasty. I would think these would make a good pie.
And I think they would make a good jam.
I think they would, too.
Yeah. I like the meaty berries for jam.
Yeah, a little solid.
And you can add a little sugar and get away with it because they're not that sweet.
Yeah. Exactly. All although right. The one I ate is pretty sweet. So, you know, sometimes it's just the individual fruit that makes.
Oh, yeah. Is this another Wendy?
Makes a difference. Yep.
Okay.
See if those are any different. Because the one I had...
Oh, that's a little sweeter.
Tasted good.
Ah, yes, Wendy.
Yeah. It's also very early, so it's prone to being frozen out, the first flowers.
Hey, Beth Linsky, what's in the cup?
That's a strawberry gazpacho.
Oh, my heavens. All right, give
us
the...
I thought was really fun because you know how there's so many strawberries around all of a sudden? And then this is a gazpacho, and it tastes good. We didn't make it hot, spicy.
It smells delicious. What's in it?
Oh, cucumbers and, you know, all the regular normal
things. Oh, yeah,
things.
Spoon. That would be good. I was going to drink it, but thank you, Charlie.
Got a spoonful?
There we go. I'm the ugly American. I would just drink the gazpacho.
Yeah, that's why we put it in that size cup. It's got onions and red peppers and cucumbers and garlic and basil, balsamic vinegar. It's got all the good things.
That's amazing.
It is really good.
I love that.
It's really simple. It's a good idea for, you know, a summer lunch kind of thing.
Little sweet, little spice. Yeah. It's all good. All right, back to the phones we go. 800-323-9262. And, Al's going to be upset. Al's been waiting a while. Al in Albany, you're on.
Yeah, hi. So my wife and I have been making jam relatively recently, and we're using a cookbook, which I think is pretty good. But it's all, I guess, you know, standard amounts of sugar. And so lately we've tried to make some low sugar versions using added pectin. And I like the taste of that. My wife doesn't like the texture, and it seems to be less shiny. And I wonder if there's a way that we could use some sugar and some added pectin and reach a happy medium there. But I can't find a good recipe for that, particularly with strawberries.
The first thing I would do would be buy Pomona pectin. Because
yep,
you can,
we've used that,
you can
and it seems
cut,
good.
You can cut the sugar down a lot in your product, and it makes nice shiny jam. If you had TV, we could
watch.
Well,
we do. You can watch it online, WAMC.org. So that's what you use?
That's what we use, and it makes nice shiny jams. It's a matter of
now, when I use that, do I need to get the jam up to 220 degrees? Because it seems to jam earlier.
We don't use a thermometer.
Ah, you're an artist. I knew it. Not a scientist. I knew it.
I wonder, I might just be cooking it too long.
Probably, because we just, you know, add the calcium water to the fruit, let it boil up, and we mix in the pectin into the sugar, and then we add those two things together, the fruit and the sugar, and then let it cook until it forms that gel, the dropping gel on the spoon. You know how that it does on the spoon, and it sheets the
spoon? I do, yeah. That one's always been a little tricky for me to...
Well, what about putting it on a plate and putting it in the refrigerator? And
maybe that would
seeing
be the way
how,
to go,
how it will spread out. Because if it doesn't... If
and
it
then,
doesn't...
You know, there are recipes right in that Pomona pectin box.
Yeah.
So those amounts are
correct.
Good to use, I suppose?
Yes. And you could also buy my book.
I've tried to use like one-fifth the sugar and then double the pectin or something, but
now,
that didn't work.
Now, I don't know if you heard that, but Al, Beth has a book. And what's the name of the book?
I didn't hear that.
What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Cooking with Jams and Chutneys.
And where can you find that book?
Probably on bestfarmkitchen.com.
Oh, you have a website. Oh, I forgot. Why don't we give the plug for the website?
Okay.
Bestsfarmkitchen.com.
Yep.
Very good. Hey.
And it also might be on WAMC because we sent you it'll be uploaded to WAMC, the recipe will.
Well, that's assuming my producer did it.
Well, yeah, it will be.
That's a rather large leap, but we'll find out. Thank you very much for the call, 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Pete in Albany. Pete, you're on.
Yes, hello. My question is about buying fruit or berries in winter. I gather you could look for berries that are local that have been under cold storage, or you can go from other states or other countries. So I was wondering if there's any input on what to look for, what might be the best fruit to buy off season, and if there's any dangers in any of the foreign fruit that you would know of.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get local strawberries, raspberries, or blueberries after the 1st of December. We've actually taken fresh strawberries and fresh raspberries for sale at our booth at the Troy Farmers Market through Thanksgiving weekend through some season extension techniques that we use. So I think the main thing is I tend to personally always try to buy U.S. produced fruit because we know that we've got laws that people need to follow as far as production goes. I don't know of any specific, things that you need to be looking out for per se, but I would actually go more the route of stocking up on local fruit during the summer and freezing it or canning it and then using it during the winter because you still get that farm fresh flavor in the middle of the winter. Blueberry pancakes, blueberry pie, frozen berries,
sure.
They work really well.
All right, Pete, thank you so much for the call. 800-348-2551, the number. Dale Isla Riggs, now, do you have a website at the Berry Patch?
We do. It's theberrypatch.net.
Okay.
And it's brand new redesigned.
Oh, very nice.
It's very pretty.
We just got it up last week. We're so excited.
Congratulations. That's great. Now, the New York Berry Growers Association, how many members are in that?
We've got about 125 members, and you can access our website is actually tied to the Cornell website right now, but we will soon have our own independent website for that association as well.
Pretty fancy.
And the Berry Growers Association has a great Facebook page. The Berry Patch, we're posting on our Facebook page quite a bit as well, especially this time of year. I'm always, I got to take this picture.
Okay.
I got to take that picture.
Well, I got to follow you then. I'll do that as soon as I get off the air here.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. And Will in Hyde Park. Will, you're on.
Hi there. I have a question about finding fresh berries in the height of the local season here. I've been told that if you can't get to a local farm and you need some fresh berries, that the supermarket berries, a brand like Driscoll's berries, it says Driscoll's California, and you see them in the middle of the winter. But in the summer, they might be local because they said it's an umbrella group, and local farms participate. Do you know if that's true or not? Are supermarket berries
local
in the summer because you would sell your berries under the Driscoll brand or something like that?
I personally am not aware of any growers in New York State that sell under Driscoll. Driscoll is, my understanding is that Driscoll is a California company.
I see.
So there are supermarkets that will sell local berries, but usually they do quite a big promotion, will have pictures of the farmer, have the farm name up, things like that. So if it says Driscoll, I'm
probably
very doubtful that it's from New York State.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Will. We appreciate that call. And, we haven't had the strawberry shortcake yet. Should we?
Sure.
Because it's a huge plate you gave me.
Well, of course. It has to look good.
It looks good. It looks very good. All right. Well, let's go to the phones and let's talk to John. Let's go over and talk to John in Altamont. No, I'm sorry, Poughkeepsie. And I'll try the strawberry shortcake. Go ahead, John. It's all yours.
Hi. I'm calling about plums, actually. What I'm interested in finding out is where to get plum trees from that were developed by John Philip Watson, who was my father. He worked for the Geneva Experiment Station, and he helped develop plums like NY96, Blue Jam, and there was one named for him, Long John. So I'm kind of interested in finding out how to get those. One of those trees.
Okay.
All right. That is so cool. And I've actually heard of Long John. Actually, a number of the growers in the Hudson Valley grow Long John, I believe.
Wow.
So I agree with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I don't work with tree fruit a whole lot, but I would suspect that if you contacted the folks at the Geneva Ag Experiment Station, they could give you some names of some nurseries both here in New York State or in the Northeast that are still propagating that variety.
Okay.
So I think that's the thing to do. Contact Geneva and ask them if they can give you a list of nurseries.
John, thank you. Great call. Let's go quickly over to Gene in Altamont. Gene, you're on.
Hello? Gene?
Gene is gone. I'm sorry, Gene. You waited all that time and now you're gone. Let's go over to Patricia in Woodstock, New York. Patricia, only about a minute here.
Hi, I just have a quick question about growing blueberries. What do I need to do to have a healthy soil for blueberries?
First thing you need to do is take a soil test and find out the pH. And if the pH is too high, which is most likely, you need to add sulfur to get the pH down, because you do not want to plant a blueberry plant in soil that has a pH above 5.5. That is the very most important thing.
Okay, so not above 5.5. And what do I do to modify the soil if it is above that?
You can buy powdered sulfur from a garden supply store, and they'll be able to tell you the rate to use. Contact your cooperative extension office, and they've got lots of great publications that'll help you out with that.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you, Patricia. I think that will have to be it. Well, Dale Isla Riggs, the strawberries, it's a good year. It's a good year.
It is a great year.
So quickly, what's next? What's the next harvest?
The next harvest will be summer raspberries, usually start around 4th of July.
Fantastic.
Blueberries start in mid-July, and then fall raspberries start usually early August, and at our place go through October, because we grow them in an unheated greenhouse, so we keep them protected.
Fantastic. Well, Beth Linsky, did you make this? The strawberry shortcake?
Well, Linda made the shortcake.
But you put it together?
Yeah. Right here in this studio.
Okay. You really truly
beautiful.
Are a genius. It reminds me of home.
It's beautiful.
When I was a little boy over 1,000 years ago. Well, thank you both for being here. This was so much fun and the food was so good. Dale Isla Riggs and Beth Linsky and Charlie, too. You did all right. You didn't cause any trouble this time, which is a real step up. Support comes from Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items, including rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter, scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. And Bread and Butter, newly opened restaurant in North Amherst's Mill District, offering breakfast and lunch daily from traditional staples to chef specialties such as duck confit hash and maple sriracha pork belly. BreadandButterAmherst.com. That's it for the show today. Thanks again to Dale Isla Riggs and Beth Linsky for being here. And thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Barb King, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a wonderful weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for a Medical Monday. Stay tuned for news.